Okay, I just want to say before I get into my message that I had a conversation with Emma and Nigel the other day, and Emma was saying to me, Andrew, you need to do some more tapes and more sermons because my mum has run out. She sends them to her on a weekly basis. So to Emma's mum, good morning, afternoon or evening, depending when you're listening to this. Okay, I want to bless you today. I want to bring a blessing this morning. Is that okay? Good. I want to bring a challenge today. Is that okay? Do you know what? It hasn't worked for me yet. They say that if we're challenged, we're stretched. Well, I'm still waiting. I've been challenged enough. Karen and myself, we kind of have learned to not like this scripture where it says trial and tribulation produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. And what we say to each other now and again is, I've got enough character, Lord. But the truth is, it will bring hope. And hope will not disappoint. Is that true? So I want to share some things with us, and I hope you'll get what it is I'm trying to say. Yes, of course, this is a time of year that we celebrate the birth of Christ, our Lord and our Saviour, if we choose to put our faith in him. And we should know by now that wasn't December the 25th with snow falling that Jesus actually came, but this is the day as Christians across the world that we celebrate that day. Because if he wasn't born, he wouldn't have been able to die, he wouldn't have been able to raise from the dead. He wouldn't be the first fruit so that we could have life and life in all its fullness. So let me read this portion of scripture to us and let's see where we get. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Put yourself in this position. There's something that you've always wanted to do. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone sees it and will ridicule you. Now, maybe you don't really take much stock in what other people think. But I suggest there's times that we do. You know, we'll start something, we'll do something, we'll say something. I will say to my wife, she's not here so I can do this. I'll say to my wife on a regular basis, yeah, I will get round to that. And my old pastor used to come into church at the end of the year with these round circles. And he'd say, do you know what this is? This is for all you men. It's a round to it. Because we'll always get round to it. And he would give them out as gifts. This is your round to it. We'll get round to it. My intentions were good. They were honourable. I will do this. And there's times in our life, and next Sunday it will be the end of the year, this calendar year. And this isn't a message about what God has done in our lives throughout the year. That will be next week. But this is a message that I hope that will encourage all of us to understand that there is a cost involved. You know, when we look through scripture and we listen to the evangelist and they'll say, salvation is a free gift. And that is true. But it cost Jesus his life. There's things that you and I will do if we choose to do it, and there will be a cost to it. And what the writer of this scripture is saying is, Jesus, is there's a cost. Take stock and estimate it. You know, when we give a part of ourselves away, you know, one of the things that the Lord is challenging me on is to document some of my 63 years, or I can't remember when I was a baby, of life. But there's a cost to everything we do. And I've learned in my life, and I'm sure you have in your life, when you give a part of yourself away to someone else, you are trusting them with it. When you say to someone, I want to share something with you, it's personal. You're trusting them. Yes? There's a cost involved. Because you're trusting that they will keep what you have asked them to keep confidential. You know, when we make vows, if we are married or been married, there's a cost involved when we said, I will, I do. We are trusting the other person with a part of ourselves that we're not in control of. And there's a cost. And I want to encourage us this morning to simply just, at some point during the day, is just to reflect on, Lord, when you ask me to do something, am I willing to pay the cost? I said to the Lord many years ago, here I am, Lord, use me. I made this foolish error in prayer, and I don't suggest any of you do this. Lord, would you give me eyes to see? I want to see with your eyes. I want to feel with your heart. And I guarantee if you believe that prayer, if you trust that prayer to be true, you will be a wreck. Because as you look into the lives of people, as you look into the pain of their eyes, you will feel it. See, there's a word in Scripture that says, and Jesus had pity on them. Not a very good translation. It actually should be this. And Jesus had compassion on them. The word compassion is, I feel what you feel, I see what you see. Do you see the difference? Pity is when somebody goes through a difficult time and you put your hand on their shoulder and you say, there, never mind, it'll be okay tomorrow. Compassion is when you can feel their pain. You see, there's a cost involved when we truly want to know this Lord and this Saviour. When I put my hand up 33 years ago to say, yes, I want to know this man. Yes, I want to know more. I didn't know at the time it was going to cost me. It was going to cost me relationships. It was going to cost me a part of myself. My identity had to be in him, not in myself. Because as you read Scripture, you will see he's given you a sound mind. Because the mind of the righteous is blessed. He's given you a new life. The old has gone, the new has come. And the Bible actually says, that's all right, Susan's coming around. The Bible actually says that if we want to save our lives, we have to lose it. If we want to save our lives, we have to lose it. You know, when we do something in the realm of giving, with a biblical spin on it, it has to be rendered useless to you in order to serve a purpose. Let me give you an example. If you take a seed and you keep that seed wrapped up and you just leave it, then it will remain a seed, yes? But if you render it useless to you by sowing it in the ground, you don't know what's going to happen to it, you can't see what's going on, but there is a process. When it's watered, it germinates and it sprouts, and then the light and the rain comes and it grows into something different to what you sowed. You have to render it useless to yourself in order for it to be useful in kingdom. And that's the same in our lives, I want to suggest. It's the same when we get to that point where if we're going to build something, do something, we're going to say something, we need to weigh the cost up first. You know, I've had over the years many times people say to me, Pastor, I will do this. And then when they've realized the cost, they couldn't do it. It doesn't mean that their intentions wasn't good. But wouldn't it be better for us to weigh up the cost before we say, yes, we'll do it? You know, we are so blessed in this church to have men and women that will come and serve us. And when they say they're going to come, they come. When they say they're going to do, they do. And if they can't, they let us know. You know, there's a cost involved. There's a cost personally and there's a cost corporately. So that's really what I want to share with us using some other scriptures. And I will bring a Christmas theme into it just so that you can be truly blessed. Matthew 1. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together. Is there anyone that doesn't understand what that means? Good, I'll move on quickly then. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And we understand the story, don't we? We've been to the nativities where you have the magi, you have the wise men, you have the donkeys and the sheep, and you have the baby in the manger. And you have Mary and you have Joseph. And we understand that Mary was this extraordinary individual. That, Lord, she says, let it be done according to your will. It took choice. But I want you to focus just for a moment on Joseph. He's a man in the Christmas story that we don't get to hear about very much. But just picture this man. It says he was an honourable man. You know, and anyone who's considering marriage, you want to marry an honourable man, not a dishonourable man. He was an honourable man, and he was zealous for the law. He was faithful to the law, the scripture says. And just picture his predicament. He's married, he's about to spend his life with Mary, and he finds out she's pregnant, but he's not the father. Just picture this for a moment. He's not the father. Now, the law says she should be stoned for adultery. But he said to himself, I don't want to expose her. I love her. It's not said in this scripture, but why else would he do that? You see, he'd given himself to this Mary, and it was now going to cost him something. And maybe at that moment, it was going to cost him his future. It could have cost him his reputation. People may have put two and two together and come up with the three. May not have understood, but it was going to cost him something. And he had it in his heart to be honourable towards Mary. So when God comes into our lives and he asks us to do something, he knows our heart. There's times where you will say, as I have said in the past, Lord, but me? Why me? Well, God knows your heart, doesn't he? Yes? He knows your heart. If he asks you to do something, yes, there will be a cost. And it's for you and it's for I to weigh that cost up before we say yes. We need to allow God to speak to us and to expand on what it is he's asking us to do. Go to Mongolia. Is that what you really said, Lord? And as you ponder on it and go to sleep, maybe he'll speak to you in a dream and says, no, I didn't say go to Mongolia. I said send some finances to Mongolia. Do you see what I'm trying to say? As this man, Joseph, pondered upon what the right thing to do was for him, he didn't want to expose this lady, this woman, this girl that he fell in love with. And he planned to divorce her quietly where she wouldn't be put to shame. There's a thought, isn't it? You know, there's opportunities we have to expose someone else. To say, but they did this and they said that. You know, no one said that the gospel was going to be easy. No one said that this journey was not going to be difficult. And when you look at the journey that Mary and Joseph had to get to this point, when you look at the journey that they had after this point, there was a cost involved, wasn't there? There was a price to pay, and they wasn't fully aware of it. And if we go to what Jesus said, before you choose to do anything, weigh the cost up. It says this, and after he has considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared. Just imagine, an angel of the Lord appeared to you. This man had a lot going on in his life. He appeared to him in a dream, and he said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because she's conceived this baby through the Holy Spirit. Now, I suggest it takes an extraordinary individual to be able to take that on board. In the natural, you can see what's happening. You're being told that this individual is pregnant. You know that you haven't come together, that you haven't had relationships with her. So you know that the child is not yours. And yet you have it in your heart already to be honourable towards her. You have it in your heart already to do the right thing. Yes, she might have digressed against you, but you love her so much. And put yourself in that situation. The her in this situation could be anything in your life that you're going through now or you're going to go through in the future. And when the Lord spoke to him in a dream, he had a choice. Did he believe it or not? And I think that's something that you and I need to grab hold of. I think that's the challenge. You know, we may not have a dream. We may not have a vision. But we have the Word. Yes? The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word became flesh, the flesh became spirit and dwelt amongst us. So the Word lives in us. So we have the Word. So when we look through scripture, we can see the written word and we can understand the rhema word when God speaks to us afresh through a revelation, not fresh revelation, because scripture is scripture. But he speaks to us and we read his word and suddenly we know he's speaking to us. You see, God doesn't have to give us a dream. For some of you, he will. He doesn't have to give us a vision. For some of us, he will. He's given us his word. But do we weigh the cost up before we do it? You know, there was a situation some years ago where there was a financial need, and a godly lady said to me, if I have to give all my wages, I will, to support what God is doing. And then next week she left the church. See, there's a cost involved. And when we say something, people are going to believe us. So I want us, as we ponder on what God is saying to us, what God has said to us, that we will weigh the cost up so that we're protected. You know, some of us will be a one talent person, and that's still good. God says, use it. Just use it. Don't bury it. There's nothing wrong with a one talent person. Some of us will be a two talent person. Just use it. Multiply it. Put it to use. Some will be a five talent. You know, the reward is the same. If you read that portion of scripture, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. So whether you're called to be a one talent or a five talent or a 50 talent individual, weigh the cost up before you say yes. Because when God gives you that opportunity to step out and do something for him, there's a cost involved. And you know, God loves us enough to give us the choice to choose. It's like, Lord, I don't think I'm capable of doing this. Well, just let it percolate in your heart. And then he'll give you the vision. He'll give you the dream. You know, if God has called you, he'll give you what you need to fulfill what it is he's called you to do. Can you imagine, and this isn't a violin moment, this is just a moment of truth. Can you imagine, for me, as a 14-year-old dyslexic individual that was scared stiff of girls, and reading out loud, they were my two fears in life. Girls and reading out loud. Because I couldn't understand the words because they all jumbled together. So when there was a knock on my door and there were six young girls outside, I was terrified. Can you imagine that individual suddenly being called to speak publicly? In the natural, I knew there was a cost involved. In the natural, I knew that I could stand up and look at scripture and maybe get it back to front upside down and people might ridicule me. That never happened. You know why? Because God has a plan. When he calls us, he equips us. But we have to take that responsibility to weigh up the cost. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're offered a new place of employment, weigh the cost up. And the cost isn't just financially. You know, if you're being asked to contribute 90 hours to earn more income when you had a really good job that you enjoyed that was only 40, weigh the cost up. Is this worth it to my life, to my family, to my circumstances, to my situation? When it comes to doing something for the Lord, we are all keen and eager to do it, yes? And we could have an appeal and say, you know, stand up, come forward, let me pray with you if you want to serve God passionately next year, and people stand up and they say, yes, Lord, here I am. And then, as the parable of the sower says, tough times come and we fall away. Why do we fall away? I'm glad you asked. Because we haven't weighed the cost up. You know, there's going to be rocks and there's going to be rubble in our lives, isn't there? And when we come together as a family, now I speak in pictures, so forgive me if you don't fully understand these parables, but as a family, when we pray that those obstacles will be removed. You know, when you look through the book of Jeremiah and you listen to the story of him building the wall, and it says there was rubble all around, it excites me because God used the rubble to build the new walls. And there's times in your life that you may see the mess around you, but if you're willing to pay the cost, is this okay, by the way? Good, that one person. If you're willing to pay the cost, we'll see the wall built. You see, there's many people that will say yes when they see the end result. I'll be part of what's happening once it's built. But they struggle with saying yes before they can see it built. And for God's people, all I'm encouraging you with is this. There's a cost involved. If Joseph hadn't have been prepared to pay the cost, the story could have ended there. Now, we can easily say, yeah, but God is in control. But God also gives us control, doesn't he? He gives us free will. Yeah, but if God knows the beginning from the end, he knew. Yes, he knew Joseph's heart. He knew Joseph's heart, his heart. But it was Joseph himself that had that softened heart. It was Joseph himself that when he saw that vision, when he had that dream, that he chose to believe it. See the difference? There are many, many men and women around the world that were called by God, and they're still walking around that mountain looking for God to speak to them again. You know, there's many Christians, and maybe you're one of them, who can say, God said to me 5 years ago this, and you're constantly looking for God to tell you something different. Well, if he told you it 5 years ago, maybe that's what he wants you to do. Just believe him. And there's the thing. My encouragement is that we believe him. That we weigh the cost up and we say, Lord, trust me with your word. Lord, trust me with this dream you've given me. So when we look through this scripture, when we look through what I've already said and throw away my words, but try and keep his words, that there is a price to pay. He could have divorced her quietly, and that was what he was going to do, which shows that he had an honourable heart. There's things that you may not be able to accomplish, but I'm guaranteeing you this, if you have an honourable heart, God will work and he will move. And then through that dream, the Lord spoke to him afresh and he chose to believe him. You know, if we knew the end of the story before the beginning, we would be at peace. If I knew when I was a 14-year-old lad, if I knew what God was going to do in my life in my 30s, I would have been at peace. But I wasn't at peace. I walked through this journey of turmoil. But there was something in my heart that the Lord had placed. And he's placed something in your heart. And if you allow it to percolate, if that's the right word, if you allow God to move and soften, then he will accomplish the very thing he said he would accomplish through you. What, me, Pastor? Yes, you. So let me share my third scripture, and then I have one more after that. This is a story that many of you will be familiar with. If you're not, then go to Genesis, read this story. If only Joseph had known what his brothers was going to do, if only he knew what God was going to do through him, he would have been at peace when he was in the pit. Yeah? There's times we find ourselves in the pit. We're going, God, I thought I was your child. Have you ever been there? Lord, I thought you loved me. Lord, I thought you was going to prosper me. Sorry if I get excited. But Lord, I thought I was your special one. Why am I in the pit? Fear not, child, I have a plan for you. I don't like this plan. Can I have another one? You know, you get your Bible and you flick it and you go, oh, Lord. Oh, and he went and hung himself. Lord, another one, please. You know, we sometimes, I tell this story every now and again. When I was a child, everything happened when I was 14. When I was a child, I used to go strawberry picking. And I used to be in my row, and you'd have to just keep going until you get to the end of the row. And you pick the strawberries, you put them in the punnets, and then you weighed them in. And depending on how much they weighed, you got more money for them. And I would always look at the row beside me and think, they're bigger than mine. And so when no one's looking, I would just hop over onto their lane, start picking their strawberries. As I got halfway down their row, I'd look back and think, well, mine are actually bigger than theirs. And we can do that at times. We can look at someone else's life and say, Lord, you're blessing them more than me. Well, that's their row. You stay in your row. You know, God says, stay on straight street. Well, what does that mean? Well, stay on the road. Don't turn to the right or to the left. And God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And yes, some of us will follow others. And some of us will be led. But all of us are followers of the Lord and led by the Holy Spirit. And God will speak to you. He will show you through his word. So Joseph was in this situation where he'd been, because of jealousy, he'd been put into a pit. He'd been sold into slavery. He ended up in Potiphar's house. He was falsely accused of being intimate with Potiphar's wife. He was thrown in prison. So he went from the pit to the prison. And there he is, a child of God. Ever been there? You know, you look around and you go, how can their marriage is good and my marriage isn't? I'm a child. How come? Well, it's easy to look at someone else's line of strawberries when God has given us our own. So we need to weigh the cost up. That's the whole theme of this message, weigh the cost up. And it's a good message. Why? Because it encourages us to just say, Lord, you've given me the choice to choose. If it's too difficult, say no. God won't be accepted. Do you know, if you say no, God will choose someone else. He doesn't need us, does he? But he chooses to use us. Yeah, but all I do is I just pray. All you do is pray? There's many men and women in ministry are successful, filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed when they preach. Why? Because people like you pray for them. And every time you pray, you're removing the rocks and the rubble from their life so they can build the wall. In the spiritual. Do you get that? So every time you pray, you're removing the rock and the rubble. Every time you see someone in a mess and you say, Lord, would you intervene? Would you bless them? Would you encourage them? Even your enemies, the Bible says, you're putting burning coals on their head, which means you're praying that God will bless them. And the more blessed they are. There was a time in my life, and Susan won't listen to this, so I'm okay. I would say, Lord, change her. Just change her. If only she would be different, I would be different. And then the Lord spoke to me and he said, no, I need to change you. Oh, no, Lord, change me. Lord, change me. And I'll give you a trivial example. We were both passionate for God's word and we wanted to both go to the midweek meeting. So just picture it. I would say, well, I think I ought to go this week. And Susan said, well, I ought to go. No, I think that's my turn. No, it's my turn. Now, you looked after the children. I need to go. And we would argue spiritually. Do you know what the worst time of the day is? Just before you get in the car to come to church. Yeah. And then when I would say to the Lord, Lord, change her. There's a truth to this. So please take the glibness away and see the truth of it. Lord, change her. And things will be different. And then I'm praying, Lord, change me. And then I'd say, I think you should go to home group. And she'd say, no, you go to home group. No, I think you should go. No, you go. What happened? What happened? God's way, not my way. God's will, not my will. Do you see, it's easy to point the finger and we know it. We've heard it. Three fingers come back. Why should I forgive them? Because God forgave you. There's a cost involved, isn't there? When you choose to love someone and they abuse that love in whatever shape or form, it hurts, doesn't it? Why? Because there's a cost involved. And if it didn't hurt, then I suggest it wasn't love. When there's a loved one that goes from this world to eternity and it hurts, why does it hurt? Because of love. Because if it didn't hurt, it wasn't love. Do you see the point? You know, if just picture this, men. If you're walking down the road and you have your daughter's hand in your hand and a stranger comes up and abuses physically or kicks your child and lovingly and kindly you hit him, do you hit him because you hate him? No, because you love her. You see, if it was a stranger, you may be compelled to intervene, but you won't be intervening out of love. You'll be intervening out of duty. But when it's someone that's precious to you, you act and react because of love. There's a cost involved. When somebody offends us, if we have a relationship with them, it hurts. Why? Because it's a relationship. There's a connection, and love is patient. Love is kind. It's slow to anger, but it's difficult, isn't it? So I'm asking us as a church to weigh up the cost. And just look at this story. If you haven't seen this before, just marvel on it. It says this, when they had done so, said this, I am your brother Joseph. Just imagine the brother's fear. I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, Do not be distressed. Do not be alarmed. Don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. You see, there's times in our lives, if we're willing to weigh the price up, look at the cost, and we're willing to embark on this journey, knowing that your hand is not in my hand, but is in his hand. Knowing that he'll never leave you or forsake you. Knowing that you may be in a pit at some point. You may be falsely accused at some point. You may give people lots of yourself. And when you say to them, like he did with the cupbearer and the baker, remember me. And they don't. Remember that it was your choice to embark on the journey. So weigh it up. Be precise. Be careful about what you say yes to. And what happened here, he could look back over the years and years and years of abuse. And even in that abuse, he was favoured, wasn't he? When he was in Potiphar's house, he was favoured. He was favoured. He was favoured. Why? Because God had a plan and a purpose. And there's times that we have to go through the valley in order to come out the other side. There's times we have to go through the darkness in order to come into the light. There's times we need to go through a transformation in our thinking. We need to die to self in order to live. We need to say, Lord, I am sowing this seed. It's useless to me. I want it to be useful to you. And what happens when you sow that seed? You don't know what the process is underneath. Some seed will rot. And some seed will grow. 30, 60. 100 times. So my encouragement is this. You may be in a pit. You may be in a palace. You may be at the beginning of your journey. You may be at the end of your journey. But my encouragement for us as a church, and those that are visiting today, is to weigh up the cost. Because God loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. When you look through this whole story of Jesus being born as a babe, and you look through his life growing up, and just the 3 years of ministry where he paid and he gave everything, he made a choice. Here I am, Father, send me. And it says this, when he's going to the garden to pray, it says he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. This is the disciples. He knelt down and he prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. There was a cost that Jesus knew what that cost was. He knew what it was to be executed by crucifixion. He knew what it was to be mocked and maligned. He knew what the cost was going to be. And like any person, fully God yet fully human, if there's any way, Lord, that you can spare me from walking this walk, then let it be so. But he goes on to say, but not my will, but yours be done. It's difficult, isn't it? But not my will, but yours be done. You know, there's times in our lives that we will feel that somebody has walked over us. There's times in our lives that we will feel that we've been maligned and misunderstood. But how many times did we pray that prayer? Lord, use me. And then we're in council and we go, I'm so unhappy because these people are using me. Maybe they're using you to get to God. You know, I'll finish with this just to encourage you. When we look at the whole gospel, you've got man and you've got God, and they're separated by a chasm. And the only way for man to get to God is through Jesus Christ, yeah? So if you look at this picture, imagine it with me that you've got man and you've got God, and then you've got Jesus Christ, the bridge. You have to go through Christ to get to God. In order for our sins to be forgiven, we have to recognize that Jesus Christ is the bridge that we walk across in order to get to God. All have sinned and fell short of the glory. So how are we going to get there? Walk across Jesus. So Jesus was willing to pay the cost. He said to himself, Father, I am willing. Use me. So as we go into our day, as we go into our week, let's just ponder on what we believe God is asking us to do. I'll ask our worship team to come up. Let's look and ponder about what God has said And you know what? God will be gracious to us. If we've said yes to something and we don't feel we're ready, then talk to him. Say, Lord, there's a cost involved and I can't pay it at the moment. But I want to journey with you. Lord, I want to give this part of my life to you, but I need your help. Lord, I want to fully understand that you want to use me so that others can find you. Lord, there's times that you're going to ask me to give of my time and my talents and my resources. Lord, there's going to be times you're going to ask me to pray for my enemies. Lord, there's going to be times where I am stuck in that place where I am bereft. But Father God, because of your love for me and my love for you, I know that you have a plan and a purpose. So church, let's commit ourselves if we want to say, Lord, speak to me afresh. I will have the wisdom to weigh up what you're asking me to do. And Lord, give me the grace to be able to do it. Give me the favour to be able to do it. Even if I walk in tough times, even if I find myself in a pit, Lord, help me to see what you've said. Understand who you are, so that I can be all that you've called me to be. Amen.